Good to be back at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Been a lot of years, but glad to be here. I apologize, my wife and children can't be there, holding the fort back at our new church plant. We're just about 10 months into that, but I'm really excited about being at a Faith Promise Missions Conference because it's been such a part of my life. I guess I've been involved in Faith Promise for about 30 years, and I really think that this conference is the most important meeting you'll have of the year because it's really a church business meeting. I like to look at it that way, as the church business meeting, to see how much or what part you're going to have as a church in worldwide missions. And I can think of no other thing that's more dear to the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ than that. And I just hope you'll get all on board with this conference. I know from our family, this Faith Promise has been the most important and single largest expense for our family for years. And we not only, when I was pastoring, was involved in that, but on the mission field, foreign mission field, and now back here. And for 52 weeks, what you decide as a church will continue to make an effect. And so how important this week is. I hope you're hearts open to what God would have you to do. But take your Bibles with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm going to have to give a caveat as I get the message about the comment about by accident starting a church in Tennessee. But you know, there are more needs in your world than you really think there are. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, really just three things tonight that I want you to look at. I want you to look at the ministry, I want you to look at the world, and then I want you to look at a treasure that's mentioned here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and look at verse 1, we'll begin reading. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 1, the Bible says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." God will bless the reading of His Word. Let's ask the Lord to open our hearts. Would you join me, please? Father, please, I can't get people's attention. I can try, but I can't do it. But you can do it. And I pray, Lord, that you would give grace to these hearers tonight, that they would put aside the things of life, the things that are on their mind, that occupy their mind. And I pray, Lord, that you would cause them to think of eternal things. And Lord, that you may move upon our hearts, that we may accomplish and do what you want us to and be that vessel that you've chosen us to be, you want us to be, that the world needs us to be. God, help us tonight. May you have your perfect will and get glory, Father, for your precious Son. And we'll praise you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says in verse number 1, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry," we have. Paul is including the Corinthians, the carnal Corinthians, though a real church, a true church, but a church that had a lot of issues, a lot of problems. And yet God said, through the Apostle Paul, Paul says, "I've got a ministry and you've got a ministry, we have a ministry." You know, it's the ministry that gives meaning to our lives. You know, without having a ministry, That there is really no purpose, no scope, no reason. I mean, if it's just living and dying and the toys that we get to enjoy, what kind of life is that? But as saved individuals, we have a purpose. And that purpose is connected with our task. And that task is our ministry. In other words, God takes us as children of God. Doesn't matter if we're a carnal Corinthian. It doesn't matter where we find ourselves in the body of Christ. That God Almighty puts us in His hand that He might use us to touch our fellow man and reach into their lives through our lives with the hand of God. That's a ministry. The ministry is not for me. The ministry is for somebody else. The ministry is God using me as a channel. Love that song in the hymn book, Channels Only. Blessed Master, I want my life to be a channel that I would be used as a minister of God so God can use me to be a minister and have a ministry in someone else's life. That gives my life value. That gives my life purpose. That gives my life a connection with eternal things and the things of God and in the lives of other people. And you've got that ministry. I think one of the saddest things today in the church is that people have this idea that the ministry is just a missionary or the ministry is just a pastor, but the ministry, according to 2 Corinthians, was the Corinthians. We have this ministry. We're all involved in it if we're saved. And the ministry's everywhere. It's next door. It's around the world. As you got on the, you have the theme here, around the corner and around the world. And the ministry's everywhere, and you'll be shocked where you find it. Going back to my Tennessee comment, we came back from 10 years overseas and we turned over the church in Romania to a national pastor. The other church we started also turned over to a missionary, and then we went down to Greece for a year and a half, and God miraculously started a church, saved souls down there, baptized on the shores of Thessaloniki. I mean, what a time we had in God ministering to people that had no idea about biblical Christianity. That we turned that church over to another missionary. We came back and started seeking the Lord about what to do. We took about 6 months to do that. And we just pray and sing, God, where can we minister now? Where can we minister now? And I was with my brother. He pastors in Alabama. You'll forgive him for that. He pastors in Alabama, and he's been there for many years. I don't know, 20 years. But he said, Britt, you wouldn't believe it. There's this county in Tennessee that's 40 miles away from our church. It's about 45 miles away. And he says, the county, the city has no independent Baptist church of any kind. No church preaching out of the King James Bible. No faithful Bible-believing witness up there. And I said, you got to be kidding. In Tennessee, the county seat of the largest town in a county in Tennessee with not a one. We went up there, and long story short, we found out it's you're in Tennessee, so you can look up Giles County. You ever heard Giles County? The biggest deer in Tennessee are killed in Giles. But anyway, that's another story. But Giles County, Tennessee, the whole county, not just the city, the whole county, not one independent Baptist church. Zero. That's the United States. You know how that broken record is being played over and over again in our country now? Because churches are closing down and people are failing to minister as we should minister. And our country's turning a different direction. Well, long story short, you know what we did? I said, well, I got some time. I'll go talk to people about Jesus there. We threw up a tent, you know, like they used to do a long time ago. Nobody will go to a tent, right? We had a tent meeting. People got saved. We rented a little storefront, and a church got started. And that was by accident. And another missionary, another church planter came in and took that over. That church is going right now. And tonight, Giles County, Tennessee, does have an independent Baptist church in that county. Just because somebody looked around and said, was there somewhere to minister? Well, right on the heels of that, we had sent our car back from overseas to Charleston. So we go down to pick up our car in Charleston. I used to pastor in Virginia, Spring City Baptist Church, for 11 years, and we had a couple that moved down there and retired, and we picked up our car. Our car was late. You know, there's no accidents with God. Our car was late, the ship was late, we sat there a week in Charleston, what were we going to do? And so we renewed acquaintance with the folks that we knew from our church back in Virginia, and they said, "Preacher, you ought to, if you don't know what to do, come start a church here." And I said, "Here? This is South Carolina." "No, we live in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. It's, 35 minutes from Charleston, and there is not one independent Baptist in this city, independent Baptist church in this city." I said, "You got to be kidding me. In South Carolina, this is Baptist heaven." No. Not one. And Pastor, this is the fastest growing city in the state of South Carolina. And Pastor, this city has gone from 15,000 to 72,000 people in 10 years. And there's nobody there witnessing. There's nobody there faithfully preaching the Word of God. There's nobody there. They're not even there with a Sunday night service or a King James Bible. No independent, nothing there. I'm just telling you, everywhere you turn your head, there's a place to minister for the Lord. People need a representation of biblical Christianity. And it's not just to a chosen few to do that. It's for all of us that are part of the body of Jesus Christ. We have a ministry, and it gives value to our life. It gives meaning to our life. The first month or so we were there, God gave us a place to meet, and we threw up a sign, and a man down the street came and looked at the sign, and he says, "Okay, you're going to put a church here?" "Yeah, we're going to put a church here." And that man said, "Well, I'll come." And he came a couple Sundays, and he was all mixed up and didn't know the Bible from, the Wizard of Id. And I mean, we were preaching, and about 2 weeks he hit the altar just crying. I went down there and I said, "What did you come for, George?" He said, "I don't know, but I need God." He said, I just need God. I started witnessing to him. I said, "What are you saved?" He said, "I don't know if I'm saved." I asked him a few questions. He was so mixed up. I said, Look, you need to come back. We need to sit down and talk." We sat down and talked. I went through the Word of God with that man in that little building that we had, and we were just there by ourselves. And I went through the gospel with him. I got to the part of "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I didn't lead him in a prayer. I didn't ask him nothing. I read him the verse. He threw his head back and he said, "Oh God, I'm a sinner. Would you save me from my sin?" I'm telling you, everywhere you meet, there's somebody that needs God. And you have a ministry. The problem is that we're not fulfilling it very well. What are we to minister? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 6, "Who also hath made us able ministers." Look, us. That's not Paul. That's not just Paul and Silas. That's not the 12 disciples. That's the Corinthian church. "Who also hath made us able ministers of the" what? "Of the New Testament." You know, we live in a day, people don't know what's in the New Testament. They don't know that a testament required the death of the testator. They couldn't explain to you what Jesus and why he came to die and what all that means. There was a guy that put up a booth in a festival, and people came by, and he was trying to help us talk to people about the Lord. He had some teenagers come by, and he asked them if just started talking to him about the Lord, and they didn't even know who the first man and woman's name that were created. Teenagers. They had never heard the story of Adam and Eve. He said, "You know who died for you on the cross for your sins?" They could not give him the correct answer. And God has entrusted us. We're not trying to promote the Baptist faith. I mean, my kids represent five generations of independent Baptists. And I'm glad and thankful that I'm a Baptist, but God has made me a minister of the New Testament. I've got a message. I've got the book to take to people. We need to minister the Word of God, the New Testament. Look what else. Look at chapter 3, verse 8. We have a ministry. How are you doing with your ministry? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8, the Bible says, "How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious?" You know what I'm glad of? We're not just ministers of a letter. We're ministers of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God working. You know, that's what Paul said to the Galatian church. He said, how were you ministered the Spirit of God? Was it through the works of the law, or was it the hearing of faith? We have a spirit behind our message. And it's the Spirit of God. It's not a dead religion. All over our country, people are looking for something that's real and something that's alive. And that's New Testament Christianity if it's breathed in with the Spirit of God. Oh, it's not enough just to tell somebody about Jesus. We're to tell them about Jesus through the Spirit of God. That's what the believers did in the New Testament. We're ministering the New Testament. We're ministering the Spirit. We're ministering something else. Look at verse 9. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of what? Righteousness. Looks like we're a little low on righteousness. We're presenting a book. We're presenting a spirit that will change people. We're presenting something that will take someone from unrighteousness to righteousness. Oh, what the need that we have is. I tell you what, church, I tell you what. It'd be a much better battle to change our nation and world by getting involved in the ministry of righteousness than, you know, the ministry of politics. I'm for voting right, man. I am for voting right. But I'm telling you something, to change our world, it's a whole lot better to win somebody to Jesus and let God change their mind. It's a whole lot easier to win our world for Christ. You know what? If we'd have done our job all the way around the world with the gospel of Christ, maybe we wouldn't be fighting so many people because they'd be saved. They'd be converted. The Muslims sure are doing a good job spreading their faith. Oh, the ministry of righteousness. Look at chapter 5. We have a ministry of the New Testament, a ministry of righteousness, a ministry of the Spirit. Chapter 5. Watch this in chapter 5. You all know the verse in verse 17. I wish every Christian knew the next verse just as well. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Have you been made a new creature in Christ? Say, amen. Have you been made a new creature? Amen. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved. You're not saved, tonight be a good time for you to get saved. You can be just as crazy as a preacher is, amen, and happy about it. This verse is talking to everybody that's been born again. But now look at the next verse, because it's talking about all of us again. Verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled, there that word is again, us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to, what's the next word? Us, the what? The ministry. The ministry of what? The ministry of reconciliation. And he goes on to say, God's in Christ reconciling the world to himself. God's hanging on the cross, and he takes the hand of man, and he takes the hand of God, and he brings the two together, and he reconciles man to God through his own person. And the Bible says we then are ambassadors for Christ. And it doesn't matter. Look, you don't have to go to Bible college to do this. You just have to be saved. You have to be a new creature in Christ. You can take the hand of Jesus and the hand of a sinner and introduce them together. That's our job. It's not the pastor's job. It's all of our jobs. It's our ministry, and it's what gives value and meaning and purpose to our Christian life. And I submit to you, if the Corinthians could do it, anybody can do it. Well, I want to move on. We have a ministry. It's an eternal one, he says there at the last verse of chapter 4. But I want to move on. Verse 2, 2 Corinthians 4:2. But I've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Have you noticed we live in a dishonest world? We live in a mixed up world, more than we have ever lived in a mixed up world. A dishonest world. Look at verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. You know what kind of world we live in? We live in a world where the gospel is hidden. I mean, all around you, the gospel is hidden from people. Now you say, well, maybe halfway around the world it's hidden, but not in Johnson City, Tennessee. Couldn't be hidden from anybody. Oh, yes, it is. You know, I thank God for my wife. God gave me my wife so I would be able to find my keys and my wallet. And things are hidden from me, you know, and I don't know where they are. If I was a betting man, I'd say, you know, my kids or my wife put things somewhere just to torment their dad. And I go, I said, honey, where's my wallet? She said, it was right on my desk. It's not on my desk. And she'll walk in there and she'll move two or three things and she'll say, here's your wallet. I said, no, that was hidden. Have you ever looked the whole house over for something and it was just as hidden and as lost as it could be? And then just right there it was all the time. You know, this world, the gospel's hidden, but it's not very far away. But it doesn't make any difference because if you can't find it, it just as well would be a million miles away from you. And you know what things that are hidden? This world is a world with a hidden gospel. And I'm telling you, when something's hidden, the hidden thing must be revealed. It must be shown. My wife will say, honey, dear, come here. Yes, honey. You know, Christian, you know what your and I's job in this world is? Sir, ma'am, friend, relative, loved one, co-worker, excuse me, hey. Here it is. Here's what you need in your life. Here's what you've been looking for all your life. Here's the answer to your sin. Here's the answer to your guilt. Here's the answer to your family. You don't know, you didn't know where you were looking, but here it is. Here is the salvation. Here is the satisfaction. Here is the redemption. This world has a hidden gospel, and it takes us to point it out. To show them, to declare it, to tell it. We live in a world not only that's dishonest, in a world not only where a gospel is hidden, but look at verse 4, in whom the God of this world. We live in a world with another God. The God of this world is not the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The God of America is not the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It should be. He was supposed to be. But the Bible says that this world has their own little g God. They have the wrong God. They have a false God. They have that God's immorality. They have that God's music. They have that God's speech. They have that God's entertainment. They have that God's philosophy. They have that God's thinking. They have that God's drink. They have that God's dress. They have the life that God has given them. But it's not the God of the Bible. We live in a world that is bound by the God of this world. We live in a world that's blind. Verse 4, the Bible says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. We live in an unbelieving world, in a world of darkness. You see verse 8, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. We live in a dark world. I've never seen a world so dark as it is tonight. I've never seen the darkness in the churches and the homes and the nations as I see tonight. We live in our little sphere of the gospel and of Christianity, but the whole world lies in darkness. How great is that darkness? But yet I'm also reminded, in the back of my mind, I remember Dr. Lee Robertson looking at me one day and he said, son, the darker the night, the brighter the light. And though you may have just a little light, the darker it is, the more that light shows itself. And the more that light makes a difference. And the more that light can be seen, because as it gets darker, even a little light will do a great deal. I don't focus on the world in darkness. I focus on the treasure of the light. The Bible says in verse number 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness," watch it, "hath shined," look at it, "in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. And we have," verse 7, "this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." The Bible says this: though you live in such a dark world, you live in a dishonest world, you live in a world that has another God, you live in a world that is blinded, but you, on the inside of you, and on the inside of your flesh and blood tabernacle, your little earthen vessel, if you please, your vessel inside of you, God's put the light. And what a treasure in a dark world is the light. And the light is in here. And if you're saved, the light is in there. And the light was in the Corinthians. The treasure was the light. The treasure was the Lord Jesus Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The treasure was the truth that's in you. The gospel that's in you. The Spirit of God that's in you. Oh, what's the answer to a dishonest world? The truth that's in us. What is the answer to a dark, blinded world? The light that is in us. What is the answer to the God of this world? It's the God that's in us. And the meaning and purpose of our lives is to shine forth to that world. We dwell in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom we shine as lights in the world, around the corner, around the world. We hold forth that word of life. You say, "What can I do?" Well, you can let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What can you do? I tell you what you can do to shine the light in a dark world. You can pay the light bill. You know, these lights don't burn for nothing. I'll never forget that old man that first preached to me about Faith Promise Missions. He said, "You know what? You guys keep saying send the light, but nobody wants to pay the light bill. You're going to send the light, you got to pay the light bill." Well, I tell you what, my heart was so encouraged. There's a church over in Houston, Texas. I was preaching. I'm not going to be very long. My watch has stopped anyway, so it doesn't matter. But I was over in Houston, Texas, preaching a missions conference, and I went there about 3 years in a row. This church even flew me back from overseas to preach there. And, man, these people just got a hold. They took second jobs to give them to missions so they could pay the light bill, so they could give the light of the glorious gospel of Christ around the world. You know last year what that church did? Last year, they gave $1 million to missions with 200 people. Little by little. I met a man, he works his second job, and all the money he gets second job, he puts in the missions. You say, "Why did you say that?" Well, I just thought you needed to know it. There are other brethren that are paying the light bill. Are you with me? Hey, I praise God. This church is an unusual church. You are involved in missions a whole lot more than most churches are involved in missions. But I'm telling you, could you not get a little bit more involved in the ministry of paying the light bill? I mean, most saved people, I'm sure nobody's like that here. Most saved people spend more on their cable bill and their phone bill and their cats and dogs than they would on missions. I'm sure nobody's like that here, but I do meet Baptist people that way. Send the light, missions, amen. Got to pay the light bill. You know what's a blessing? I've been gone for several years from Romania, that little church in Romania. They just took on, Pastor, they just took on their sixth missionary. They make about $200 a month. They took on their sixth missionary. And they're just so happy. Oh, they said, the pastor sent me a, Pastor Moisek sent me an email. He said, "Preacher, we finally got enough in. We're going to take on another missionary." I said, "Well, glory to God, hallelujah." He said, said, don't you feel sorry for those poor people sacrificing like that? No. No, they're in the ministry. They're shining the light in the world. They've understood that the treasure is in them. And they're going to let it out. He said in verse 7, I'm finished. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Church, I don't have any power to save anyone. I don't have any power or ability to start a church or keep a church going or do a great work or make an impact. I don't have any power. But the treasure that God put in me, there's a lot of power connected to it. And I just need to yield to that power. And I need to let that power of God work through my life and make me a channel. It's not my program, it's the power. The excellency of the power. It's not my words. It's the power behind the truth of God. It's not just the gospel. It's the power and the energy that Christ, the God of the world, puts into the gospel. He's the light of that gospel. He's the energy of that gospel. He's the power of that gospel. Oh, there's no power plants in heaven, but the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of all eternity because there's power in the person of Christ. There's energy in the person of Christ. And he energizes the gospel. And he energizes the word of God. And he'll energize you. And he'll energize me to do his work. If we will look, verse 18, I'm finished. At things, not at things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Missions conference, you know what it's about? Trying to gather our hearts and minds on something eternal, that the power of Christ that's in us, that dwells within us, may use us as ministers to touch this world for which he died. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight. Thank you for your kind attention. How's your ministry this evening? Maybe you're here tonight, you've never been saved. Christ is not in you. You don't know that Jesus is in you. You've never received him as your Savior. The pastor's down front here. If you've never been saved, if you'd like the answer for your life that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ, why don't you come down here and let him privately take a Bible and show you how to be saved. And Jesus Christ can be your Savior tonight. But brethren, the hour's never been so late and the world has never been so dark. We must yield ourselves to our ministry and think on eternal things and yield ourselves to God that his power might work within us. Would you stand to your feet, please? Everybody stand to your feet. We have a hymn of invitation. Father, please work in our hearts for the glory of Jesus Christ, I pray. Give us the courage to respond to the Spirit of God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. As they sing, would you join me down here at the altar and let God work in your heart tonight?
Through. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Are you 100% sure you're going to heaven someday? Have you trusted Jesus Christ and Christ alone? If you have not, the word Word of God says today is a day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. If you have, what a treasure that God has placed inside of our earthen vessel. The Lord add His blessing. I have Brother Gary just sing one verse, Brother Gary. Give folks a little bit more time.
Is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Are you telling the lost of the Savior? Are you ready His service to do? Make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel.
Give to Faith Promise Mission, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Aren't you glad the money's going to a man like this? The hand of God's on him. I remember sitting listening down at Crown College, and I would sit and watch Brother Keith Kaiser just weep like a baby through the message. It really touched my heart. When I feel the presence of the Lord, I cry. I felt God in that message. Not boo-hooing up there, but tearing up, feeling the Lord in that. That was powerful tonight. Praise the Lord for it. I'd like to ask Brother Logan, Brother Mickey Archer, who's helping him, Brother Cadwell, and Scott Martin, sir, if you wouldn't mind to help Brother Cadwell with those bags, and Brother Mickey Archer, Brother Brad, if you wouldn't mind to help Brother Logan, I'm going to go ahead and dismiss you all to the gymnasium so you can get to your displays. I'll give you a head start. We want you to take your bags, so you are in a Baptist church. We don't want to leave sweets like that laying around. They're liable to be taken tonight. Appreciate you being here tonight. Let me give you some announcements to give them some time here to get out. Remind you, tomorrow night, 6:30, service is at 7, but if you want to see Dr. Cherian's slideshow, you'll be here at 6:30 tomorrow evening. Dr. Cherian will be preaching for us the main message in here tomorrow night. I remind you to stay with us as soon as we dismiss, immediately go over to the gymnasium. We've got a snack for everybody here. It's a time for you to fellowship with the missionaries. If you have children here, that's where they are, so you'll be going over there. They will have their passports. Some of these missionaries have displays. I do remind you about the Taste of Nations. I'm talking to our church folks. If you're planning on being here Sunday night, wouldn't mind to bring a dish or something like that with you, please sign up on your way out. We do need some nursery workers for tomorrow night and Friday. I just throw it out to the ladies as well. Brother Bob wants me to dismiss all of the parents who have children here in the gymnasium. Let me go ahead and dismiss you first. You're going to the gym, okay? And then we'll give you just a moment here to get a head start, and then everybody else can be dismissed. If you're here tonight and you do not know the Lord, please see us. I'll stay right here for a few minutes if you need to come see me. Please stay with us, folks. Even if you don't stay long, just go out through the gymnasium, shake the missionaries' hands, thank Brother Logan for the message, whatever, and may the Lord add His blessing to this, okay? Thank you for being here. Tomorrow night, 6:30, if you want to watch the overhead stuff, 7 o'clock for regular church service. Thank you for coming. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you for being here tonight.